Hey kids, this is Joe from the SML podcast. A little bit of a show notice. After this episode was recorded, I was informed that Cole would no longer be a part of our podcast. I do not know if this is her final episode or if she will appear on another. We're going to continue with our obligations and see where things go. But no one's here for sad stuff. You're here for dick jokes. So Norg, hit that intro.
Hey, kids. You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles, and pancakes. The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing fine. How are you, Joe?
You're chipper again. What the hell's up with that?
It's just a natural response.
I don't believe that.
I can't help myself.
Being chipper's a natural response for you?
I call bullshit.
Bullshit.
Y'all act like I don't sound like fucking Minnie Mouse on crack.
Yeah, well, on crack, exactly.
It's one thing, but...
You always sound dead.
Sure, we'll go with that. You always sound dead or annoyed or both.
And I'm still better sounding than you two. What the fuck?
Well,
yeah, you're happy at chipper sounding, which usually means I just assume that you hit somebody with a car.
I can't drive.
Well, way to fucking ruin my joke. Jeez.
I have Coltrane on my lap bugging me. So how's everyone doing? Aki's here. Jacob's here. It's been a crazy week. Cole, we could finally talk about what we did last week.
We can. I mean, we can talk about it on the show. I've been blabbing since the embargo went up anyway, so.
Well, should we just dive into what's going on with the week?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll start things off. Cole, last week we did the Outright Games OG Unwrapped event.
We did.
We got some hands-on time with all of the fall titles from Outright Games, and then a preview of one of them, a video preview of one of them, or a hands-off preview of one of them, I'll say. That's what kicked it all off with Fast and Furious Spy Racers, which really caught my attention. I had... like zero hopes for this game when I first heard about it, and after watching the hands-off preview of, I'm actually kind of excited for this one. This is on right. My radar now.
So because I'm homeschooling and we were doing this in the middle of the day, I couldn't not have the kids around when we were watching this. And number two is like a huge fan of the Fast and Furious show that's on Netflix. She loves it. She's obsessed with it.
Did she follow the embargo?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You know, she's autistic. She can't talk that well anymore. So she's fine. you know, it is what it is. But I don't think there was any concern there. She might have maybe told her journal. But I don't read their journals, so there's that. But she was watching it, and they did the cinematic where we got to see one of the actual cutscenes, and all of the characters for the English-speaking characters in the game are the voice actors from the show. And she was just sitting here beside me doing her work and watching over my shoulder. And as soon as she realized what it was, her eyes got as big as saucers and her jaw dropped. And she just had her hands on her cheeks and watched the whole thing, so excited. And then
That's kind of adorable.
She put her hand on my arm and she goes, "When are you buying that?" And I was like, "Soon," because not now. But she was just so it looked so good compared to like the TV and shows. And I haven't even watched the show. I've only like seen it in passing when I go in the room and be like, hey, you can't be watching Netflix right now. You got to do schoolwork. That's my extent with the Fast and Furious show. But like, I recognized as soon as I heard the characters and as soon as I like saw them on the screen, I was like, oh shit, it's them. And they did an incredible job of bringing these characters to life in a way that kids can interact with in this game.
No, we also, after that, we got some hands-on time with some stuff, including the new Addams Family game that's just around the corner.
This was my favorite of the show.
Was it?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm an 80s kid. I love the Addams Family. I can't help myself. Everybody wanted to be Wednesday back then. And
Addams Family was the 60s.
Look.
Jake, so are you actually a 60s kid and like you're just lying about your age?
The original movies weren't that old.
I have explained this before that even though I was from the 80s, my sister is 14 years older than me, and my other sister was 7 years older than her.
Oh, jeez.
Jesus.
Okay.
I don't think I've heard that before.
Yeah, I've never heard
that age difference before. That's awesome. Pretty crazy.
I have two other brothers as well, and they are in that age gap somewhere. I don't even remember how much.
Your parents were active.
Well, I was adopted.
For a long fucking time. That's impressive.
But I was adopted, so I don't count. Oh. But my parents were born in the 40s in the 30s and 40s. So a lot of what I grew up with, like some of my favorite music and stuff is from the 60s and 70s because that's what my siblings grew up with. So that's what I grew up with.
So how do you think it translated game-wise with Addams Family?
It doesn't quite have that 80s and 90s touch to it, of course, because it's based around the newer Netflix show.
Yeah.
So you can definitely tell, like, some of the character designs and stuff certainly fall more in line with that and are a little different. If you got that nostalgia that I've got, you're going to be like, oh, they look a little different. And it's okay. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh my God, they changed my favorite character and now I hate everything. So I'm like, yeah, they look different, but it's fine. They sound like the characters in the show. Again, I believe they used the voice actors, didn't they say?
Yeah.
I'm just interrupting. I wasn't even aware that there was a Netflix show for the Addams Family, because I know that there's, they've really did a CGI movie a couple of years ago. Shut up, Joe. So
I didn't, that wasn't me.
Well, whoever's side, you can can it. All right. Anyway, however, there is an Addams
Family. That's just funny. You went right to me. Oh, my God.
There's an Addams Family movie coming out next month. And so
yeah, it's a tie-in with that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I didn't know if it was a tie-in with this Netflix show that I didn't know about or if it was for the movie. Okay, continue, please.
Is there a Netflix series for Addams Family?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm 90%.
Maybe we're getting shit mixed up. Maybe this is... There's too many licensed properties that I can't keep track of all of them anymore.
There's a Netflix show coming out next year.
Okay.
I thought it was already out. Shit.
I did too.
Maybe there's something called Wednesday too.
That's different. That's a live action Tim Burton style series.
Yeah.
Different. But yeah, there's a CGI like kids show.
I could have swore that was already up. We're all crazy.
Oh, it may be on Amazon Prime. I know my kids have watched it, but I don't remember on what. We kind of have the curse of too many subscription services around here.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I just stroll by and I'm like, oh, y'all are watching something cool. See you later.
The worst part is, like, we just got new bank cards.
Oh, no. You have to change everything.
Update.
Hate that. Dang. I hate that. I won't even know because I don't ever even fucking use them, right? I watch everything on Twitch and YouTube at this point. Occasionally I'll watch something, but it's rare. And then my sister uses my accounts and the girls do. And I always know when something needs updated because they'll be like, hey, fix Netflix. And they're like, son of a bitch.
Oh, God.
Send in there. I'll know that way that they're sending us new bank cards before I get the bank cards.
Well, anyway.
It was my favorite. I do wish it was a little gorier. To be fair, the game that we saw, but it is for kids.
It is like, aimed at children.
Listen, there were still bones poking out of the meatloaf, yo. So
poking out of the meatloaf.
Yeah, they were. So, you know, I mean,
it's creepy, but it's not gory.
Yeah, it's not devoid of gore, but it's not over the top or anything.
Something that was over the top gory, I think, was Blazing the Monster Machines. The blood and violence. No. Blazing the Monster Machines is basically like a kid's first racing game.
Right. This was the one I played, and I felt kind of bad because I was just dicking around in it, and the developer was like, you can hold this trigger to drift, and I was like, I don't need to. But realistically, you know, it's a little kid's game. It's made for that. I would say this would be good for like that 2 to 5 crowd when you're normally just handing them a controller that's not even plugged in and then playing for yourself. This is that crowd where you're like, you know what, I've got to go wash dishes, have fun. And they could probably manage it on their own.
And if you're worried about them having frustrations with steering, or if they're still working on stuff like that, it has an auto steer mode. Mm-hmm. Where you can be hands off and, you know, give the kid an unplugged controller if you want. Just be like, here, you're playing.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, pop the batteries out there, none the wiser.
My biggest concern with this one is content.
Yeah.
I'm worried that this is going to be like a $30, $40 game, and I just don't think the content is there to support that kind of price tag. If this is like a $20 game, I can get more behind it. I'm just concerned that because it's a licensed property, it's going to be a bit more expensive. Yeah. And we've seen more complex games from 3D Clouds before. So
I think the nature of it is that it's such an underserved niche that they can kind of get away with the price and go, but it's licensed, you know, and parents are going to be like, fuck, what other racing game can my 2-year-old play, you know? Yeah,
true.
So they're just going to, like, throw the money at it. I don't think that it's not worth it. It looks great. It played well. It's just that it's kind of pricey for how many tracks and stuff there are.
Yeah, well
it's going to have a retail price of $30.
Yeah.
I guess that's not awful. But easy gamer score, I know that.
GameStop says it's rating pending, so maybe it'll be rated M for mature.
Ooh, that'd be crazy. It's still in the works. Anything can change.
Outright, you got 13 days. You got 13 days, you can make it happen.
You just flip a
Carmageddon switch. Mode.
Flip a toggle crossover. In the settings and like everything, like it becomes actual monster machines that gobble each other up as you drive up on them and stuff.
And it changes to Blazed in the Monster Machines.
Yep.
Oh, God. Something we didn't get any hands-on time with, but Jacob, I know you played, was Paw Patrol the movie.
Yes, I did play that. I reviewed it. I mean, heck. But I do have thoughts about that since the review.
Wow.
I did have hands-on time with Paw Patrol.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't
remember. It was at the end there. Yeah, I wasn't originally supposed to, and then we had more time. Because I guess apparently, you know, they maybe had slotted us for like a full hour of play, and there was only so much you could do.
Yeah, the demos were.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The Paw Patrol game, I know I originally gave it like a, yeah, go for it kind of thing. Because, I mean, in all honesty, you're buying it for the kids. But compared to how the actual movie is, because the game came out like 2 or 3 weeks before the movie did, and I got to watch the movie with my kids, and with how the movie does it and how the video game portrays those those events, I really was not pleased. And yeah, if I was purchasing that thing, I would be upset. Now, I know Outright is working on it. However, at this point, the game's been out for, I think, a month now, and there is still an unobtainable achievement in that game. And it's just like, guys, like, if you're not going to fix it, just say you're not going to fix it.
No. Like, well, hopefully they get on that. They do have a lot under their, you know, under their umbrella right now. Like, they have a packed fall. They mm-hmm. they also have a Peppa Pig game. I thought this was adorable.
Yeah, you get to make your own little Peppa Pig character, but it looks identical to the show and the books. Like, the art style is just dead on. It's all the proper voice actors in the English version, and then it's definitely like 6 month olds could play it. You can, as long as they can press an X button, something's gonna happen.
Yeah, this one looks really cute. And then there was a PJ Masks game.
There was.
What'd you think of that one?
That was a little more intensive. You had to actually control and figure out how to use the character's abilities, because there are the three different PJ Masks characters, but it has all the same charm and humor as the TV show does. Again, same voice actors. They did really good at, like, getting all of the voice acting talent from all these different properties. But yeah, it's not something that the smaller crowd is going to be able to handle. You're definitely going to see this one geared more at like
8 to 10.
I wouldn't even say 8 to 10. No,
so.
Number 3 is 8. She does it. She hasn't watched PJ Masks in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Like,
so I'd say like the 3 to 6, but the game may be a little above what that age group can handle. Well, maybe the 5 to 7-ish crowd.
Well, we'll find out in the coming months, I'm sure. Big shout out to Outright Games for having us and letting us preview these games as they come along. Hopefully we'll be able to give them full reviews and tell you whether or not they're worth the money.
Yeah, we had a good time.
You know what is worth the money?
What's that?
Game Pass.
I love Game Pass.
Remember all those times when, like, they're adding way too many games to Game Pass?
Yeah.
They're adding way too many games to Game Pass.
More games!
Woohoo! Like, it's getting ridiculous. This week, we got Crown Trick, Nuclear Throne, The Artful Escape, Blinn Son of Crimson, I Am Fish, Skatebird, Superliminal, and Aragami 2.
There are a lot of good games.
That came out already?
Today. Yeah.
Shit.
All of those in a week.
Mm-hmm.
A fucking week.
Well, I know the next game I'm going to play when I have free time. Finally, if that ever happens. I'm really looking forward to Aragami 2. I didn't even realize it was coming out so soon.
Yeah. So, next week, even more games are coming. Lost Words Beyond the Page is hitting on September 23rd alongside Sable.
That one I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
Me too.
Subnautica Below Zero.
I was looking forward to that one, but then I found out that they fixed the console commands and you can't use them to unlock the achievements anymore, and I'm like, well, I don't got time for that.
Nah.
That just killed it for me. Thank you, Cole. Damn.
Boo, bring back the cheats. Yeah,
I believe they would have made it. They've made a grave mistake. I'm not sure who advised them to do this behavior, but it was a grave mistake.
Yeah, Zetalon needs to get in touch with them.
Right. Carnage can go yell at them on Twitter.
Yeah, Carnage, come on. Get the crowd behind it. Mob Justice. Bring back cheats. And then Tainted Grail Conquest is hitting PC on the 23rd.
What is that?
Yeah, it looks cool. So
does it?
I think it does.
I've missed out on info about that one. I hadn't even heard of it.
Oh.
I'll conquest your taint.
September 28th, we're getting Lemnis Gate on console and PC.
I've heard a lot about that game, and I still don't have any fucking clue what it is.
Same. Hard same. Carnies is excited for it. So I'm going to guess it's a shooter or a twin stick shooter of some kind.
Must be an easy
time loop first person shooter strategy hybrid. Interesting.
You lost me at time loop.
It's where you loop time.
No. What?
No, and that I don't like time loops. Jackass.
Really? You have no interest in Deathloop?
I am mixed on Deathloop because I've seen gameplay of it, and like, it's one of those where right now I think I just enjoy watching it more than playing it. But I'm not sold, but I'm not against either, you know? Yeah.
Well, that one will be joining Game Pass in about a year.
Yeah, I was like, so. I can wait.
So we'll talk about that next year. Uh-huh. September 30th, Unsighted is hitting console and PC alongside Astria Ascending.
Okay.
And then October 1st, Phoenix Point is hitting console.
Okay, I don't know what any of these are.
So neither do I.
A lot of good shit coming.
Man, the backlog, it grows.
Indeed it does. But it's not all good news. Obviously, when there's games joining Game Pass, there are games leaving Game Pass. And there are 5 games that are ducking out at the end of September with, Cole, you're going to be sad, Drake Hollow.
Yeah, thankfully I own it. But there's a plus side to this, though. Because everybody now is like, oh, I need to play Drake Hollow before it leaves Game Pass. And I'm like, I got you. Don't play with me.
Nice.
Yeah, but you ain't ever gonna play with anyone. Let's not even lie about that.
We'll go with that, sure.
Shit.
Eichenfell is leaving, which I need to decide if I want to drop the money on that or not.
What is Eichenfell? Like, people keep asking me about it, and they're like, it's a U game, and I'm like, I don't know what it is.
Well, let's look it up and see exactly how they... It's a turn-based tactical RPG about a group of troublesome magic students.
Who the fuck decided that was a me game?
Yeah, people, I think that's,
are lying to me.
I Maybe think that's more of a me game art. Than a you game.
Yeah, it's like a retro looking at RPG.
Art style and like, oh, Eternal would like this. And I don't think it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. This doesn't look like a you game at all.
See?
Yeah, I think that's more of a me game than a you game.
Yeah.
Well, go download it before it leaves Game Pass.
Yep, you got until the end of the month.
I don't have the time or the room.
Well, then you don't have the time and room for Night in the Woods.
God damn it. I love Night in the Woods.
That one's leaving.
That's a good game. I'm enjoying that. I wanted
to play that, and I just hadn't gotten around to it.
I will say, if you are going to play Night in the Woods, and you're trying to get the completion before it leaves Game Pass, just go ahead and Google the spreadsheet on Reddit, because there is a spreadsheet to tell you how to get all the endings and all the drawings and stuff, and you are not doing it on your own without that spreadsheet.
God.
Oh, God.
Fuck, there's a spreadsheet. That's just... Jesus.
Warhammer Vermintide 2 is leaving cloud and console. That's a bummer. That's always a good time. Vermintide
comes and goes, man.
It does. It'll be back
for like 6 months, and then it disappears for a couple weeks, and then it comes back.
No, so I won't be shocked when that one returns in a couple of weeks.
No.
And then PC is losing Cathy Rain.
The fuck is that?
That's probably a you game.
Oh, really?
I think that I'm pretty sure that's a game that I reviewed on here forever ago for PC, for Steam.
Huh. I'll have to look it up after the show.
Set in the 90s, Cathy Rain tells the story of a strong-willed journalism major who has come to terms with her own troubled past as she investigates the mysterious death of her recently deceased grandfather.
Yeah, that was the one where I was annoyed that she was like, oh, I'm in a hurry, and then walked fucking everywhere, and it drove me nuts. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that is the Game Pass news. THQ Nordic had an anniversary event where they unveiled a whole slate of new games. I was let down.
I liked a couple of the games on there. It looked interesting. I hadn't played any of them.
A couple looked interesting, but when they tweeted out afterwards that they still have like 28 unannounced games...
What the fuck? They announced, what, like 8?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
What the hell? Why didn't they announce more? Shit.
Like,
they said, I think they said 42 games in development and 28 still unannounced.
No. But the ones they did announce were Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed, which apparently is only going to be on new-gen consoles and PC.
Well, that just killed it for me.
Yep, so if you don't have a Series X, S, or a PS5 yet, you might want to try hunting one down if you're interested in that. SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake is coming. So if you want new SpongeBob, there you go. Outcast 2, A New Beginning.
That one kind of interests me. I've never played the original, so, but it looked cool.
A lot of people are excited about this one, so that has my intrigue. I want to see what's going on with that one. But Jagged Alliance 3 was announced.
Yeah.
Superpower 3 was announced.
I'm going to be really honest here real quick. There were so many of these that were sequels and remasters of sequels, or like more modern versions of sequels. And I was just sitting here the whole time.
I think literally all of them were.
Yeah. And I was just like, if you have so many unannounced games, why is this your pick for your anniversary?
I know.
Maybe the rest are all the same kind of stuff.
I figured all the bitching would come after we discussed all the games.
Maybe, but man, I just had to say it now while it was on my mind. I'll forget when we're done.
Yeah, I know you will. MX versus ATV Legends was announced.
Okay. It looked good. I just don't like dirt bike games.
Yeah. I'm excited. I like those games. They're fun to play. Elix 2 or Elix 2, however you want to say that one. A new trailer was shown for that one, even though we know the game existed. They showed some new gameplay. And then Expeditions Rome. So that was their anniversary event. Where the fuck was Amalur?
They even showed the logo for Amalur.
Like, what the fuck?
At the beginning.
Where's the DLC?
Nothing. Well, they've confirmed that it exists. I mean, they showed you. They showed a screenshot. Wasn't that enough?
Thank God they showed a screenshot. Yeah. Oh man. In
Can't
other news,
one of those up in 10 minutes.
In other news, Randy Pitchford confirmed a new Brothers in Arms game is in development. So there's that.
That's cool.
Okay, I've never played those.
Pew pew games.
I know, and you would think I would play them, but. I think we even owned one, and I just never played it.
I think one of them's playable on backward compatibility.
I think it's Hell's Highway.
Maybe.
It's the one that's always on sale, so I would assume it's that one.
Yeah. Some bad news, though. There's some delays to talk about. Battlefield 2042 has been delayed to November 19th. Not a huge delay, but a delay nonetheless.
I don't know what they're doing at DICE. I don't know what they're doing. First, they're like, yeah, no campaign. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to delay it some more. And then, like, they haven't showed shit, done shit. Man.
Well, they're throwing together that campaign now.
Not that fast.
They got 2 months. It's going to be
supermarket. Did they say they're doing a campaign for it?
No, they are not.
No, they're not. I'm just joking.
I thought maybe they announced that due to backlash, they would actually fix that and do a fucking campaign.
Oh, they would need a much longer delay.
Oh, well. Dying Light 2 has been bumped to February 4th.
Look, at least it's not Dead Island, I guess, but Jesus fucking Christ, Dying Light, you guys are starting to turn into Cyberpunk, and I'm worried.
No, like, this one hasn't been delayed too many times.
It's been delayed years.
Dying Light 2? I know Dead Island 2 has.
Yeah. Oh. Dying Light 2 has been delayed by years at this point. Yeah.
I guess I haven't paid enough attention to it. But one more delay to talk about. Rocksmith Plus has been delayed into 2022. No specific date.
I missed that one had been delayed.
Yeah. So that's the news I got for the week. Cole, anything on your end?
No.
Helpful.
No. Yeah, I know.
Aki, anything on your end?
Huh?
I'm news?
No,
nothing.
I don't really keep track of news. I'm too busy playing games for, 50 hours over the course of 4 days.
All right, Jacob, what do you have?
All right, well, one thing you failed to mention with Randy Pitchford is that he also announced... All right, you know what? Fine.
Shit, that was fast.
That's what she said.
I know.
I couldn't actually leave.
So Randy Pitchford, what about Randy?
So anyways, one of the things that he also announced during that meeting is that there's a new Duke Nukem project happening. Now, really? Initially, well, yeah,
that needs to be canceled.
Well, see, the thing is that everyone initially assumed, oh, well, that just means that there's a game going. However, there is also a movie being produced, too. And the thing is that everyone's now thinking that he's actually talking about the movie, not the game. However, there may still be a game tied in with the release of said movie.
Duke Nukem forever and ever.
Honestly, I don't care if he's talking about a video game or a movie. Regardless, it should probably be canceled. It's probably absolute trash.
Yeah.
Those games are fun for like 12-year-old boys way back when. Nothing's come good out of that shit since then. It's just be gotten rid of.
Why did you stress the word come there?
Because I didn't know where I was going with that sentence, and I kind of walked there, and I was like, shit.
12-year-old boys, nothing's come there. Bullshit. We know what's gone on in Duke Nukem games. Kids are depraved. Goddamn children. All right, what else do you have, Jacob?
Sony has taken off the PS3 and Vita Little Big Planet servers. They're just straight up going away forever and ever. However, you can still play it on PS4 without any issues and stuff. So there's that. A new Nintendo Switch controller has been listed. Nintendo submitted the paperwork with the FCC. For some reason, a lot of people online think it's going to be a Nintendo 64 controller, but we won't know until about 180 days from now.
No.
It has to do with the FCC filing to keep it confidential. However, Nintendo may, of course, announce it before then, but for whatever reason, everyone's putting bets on a 64 thing. Marty O'Donnell, the famed composer for Halo and Destiny and stuff like that, now owes Bungie $100,000 because he wouldn't stop using music from Destiny in projects. So, fucking yikes. Also talking about Halo, Master Chief Collection is going to stop getting seasonal updates around the same time Halo Infinite launches. But,
oh, that's a shocker.
I'm fine with that.
343 has said that they'll eventually go back to it. It's just they're going to focus on Halo Infinite for a bit.
Don't worry, kids. Daddy will come home.
He's just getting cigarettes. The ZX Spectrum creator, Sir Clive Sinclair, has died. He was 81. You know, in case you remember the ZX Spectrum.
Was there a cause of death?
Just age. A long illness.
Age.
Yeah.
Flipped his Harley.
Being 81.
I'm terrible. Man. I know.
And also, Nesting Games has been found. Has been founded in Quebec, Canada. It's made up of old Ubisoft employees who have already taken some pot shots at their former employer, but they're looking at making RPGs. According to them, they're going to have great characters, powerful storytelling, and strong gameplay. And they want to move away from the massive open world model.
I could get behind some of those games, probably.
Yeah, so that's actually all the news I have.
Cool. So are we ready to dive into reviews?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess.
Aki, you ready? Cole, you ready?
Yeah, I guess.
Because holy shit, what a fucking lineup we have tonight. Like, wow. This,
are you excited about it?
Yeah, this is a damn fine lineup of games that we have.
Do you want to retake that intro? Because I don't think you were excited enough, Joe. I think you need to try again.
What? No,
I regret everything.
we've got a pretty solid lineup of games, and we're going to kick things off with Tales of Arise, developed and published by Bandai Namco, released September 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. 300 Years of Tyranny, A Mysterious Mask, Lost Pain and Memories, wield the blazing sword and join a mysterious untouchable girl to fight your oppressors, experience a tale of liberation featuring characters with next-gen graphical expressiveness. Aki, you didn't play on next gen, you played on last gen. What did you think of it?
It's pretty good. It overall, it has some issues, and some annoyances, but mostly it's pretty good. You play as a guy named Iron Mask, and he's so named that because he has an iron mask. They're really good at naming people. Yeah, they're so great at naming people. And he doesn't remember anything about himself because he's a hero, and therefore you have to give them amnesia. It's the best way to make an RPG character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also can't feel pain or anything, really. So that's kind of cool. That's fairly interesting. I don't think I've seen that. What?
So he's emo.
He can feel emotions. He can't feel other things. Like if you stab him.
Count myself to notice. Feel.
No. Oh, God. Just stop, please. God, no.
Anyway.
I have songs stuck in my head. I hate you. So he is part of... he's on a planet where all his people basically are slaves to people from another planet. They're divided. The Rinna are the oppressors, and the Danann are the oppressed. And he's just one of the many, many, many slaves. And he decides that enough is enough when he finds a really cute but extremely bitchy girl and decides to save her. Like, no, you don't understand when I say very bitchy, like...
I've played the game. I know how bitchy she is.
God, every word out of her mouth just makes me want to slap her. I'm like, God, shut up. So he sees her in trouble and decides to fight against his oppressors in order to protect her. And then she immediately complains about it because that's what she does. and from there... she has some crazy magical power that lets her summon fire, so he forms it into a sword somehow and wrecks some shit, and he ends up freeing that group of people, and now he has to free all the people on the planet, and they're all divided in five different giant districts, basically, each one gathering power of a different element. And he's just trying to free all of them. And when you get to what you think is the end of the game, you realize it's not the end of the game, which is fantastic. You meet a whole bunch of other characters. There ends up being three guys and three girls in the party, eventually. And you can probably guess why. There's an equal amount of both. You just go out and you kick ass. Mostly what you fight are monsters that the Rinna have biologically modified. They're called Zoogles, and they're pretty much anything. Giant wolves, giant rock monsters, giant flying things. They're all just fucking different types of Zoogles.
Zoogles.
I call them by what the game calls them. So.
I know, but Zoogles is funnier.
Baby.
You don't want your thing pronounced Zoogles, don't spell it Zoogles.
I guess this is true. So most of your fighting is that. Occasionally you fight some Rinna who are in giant armored suits that make them super strong. And they originally suck for a while until you become so powerful that you're basically just giving them the middle finger and they fall over dead, which is pretty fantastic. The thing about this game is the way you level up is in three different ways, effectively. You have your experience, which levels up your actual level.
Okay.
Then you get SP. I don't actually know what that's for. I think spirit points, but I'm not 100% sure. They're skill points because they unlock your skills. That's mm-hmm. right. Which you get through a title system. Which, if you've played the Tales of Games, you kind of know what the title system is. This is modified, but still pretty much the same. And then you have money to... God damn it, now I'm calling them Zoogles, and that's not right. Fuck. Zoogle parts to create weapons and the like. You also... in the prior games, you had technical points that each character had for special skills and stuff. that's been done away with, and instead now there's CP. I have no idea what the fuck that stands for. And that's the pool of points that everyone gets to use instead of each one individually having tech points. So really special abilities use parts of that. Healing is used in that, so always keep that as high as you can, because healing is very, very important. I played it on story mode, and I have died many, many a time. So keep your healing, folks. Healing's important. I know. Shocker.
Coming with the hot tips in the JRPG, you gotta heal.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, in most JRPGs, I don't usually have to heal that much. In this one, it's a constant fucking thing. And I'm playing on story mode. I'm playing on the bitch baby mode, and I'm fine with that.
I think that leads to one of my biggest gripe with this game, and that is it feels like you need to buy some of the DLC to get the full effect of this game. And
in my opinion, you do.
And I don't like when games outright basically force you into needing to buy extra DLC just to make the game more enjoyable and more playable. Like, the game should have just been that way to fucking begin with. If you're trying to sell me a double or 50% bonus XP, maybe it's you should have just given me more XP in the game to begin with.
Very much
DLC,
so.
Yeah. Drew Van Camp in chat saying DLC should be expansions, not missing pieces.
Yeah. Well, there's even some worse stuff that I didn't know about until maybe an hour before the podcast started. There's entire arts, titles, basically. Entire titles. Titles are the things that allow you to have skill points. There's an art usually attached to it, which is a special attack, and then there's some passives that you also get. Mm-hmm. There's a few of those that are locked behind the costume packs.
Yes.
And I didn't know that until just before the podcaster. I was like, no, you're joking. And then someone linked me to it, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Yep.
Thankfully, those arts are useful at the beginning of the game, not so much by like where I am. By the mid late game, they're worthless, but the passives are still really fucking good. And those DLC are not fucking cheap. They're what, $15 each? And there's three, four of them?
I don't remember how much the individual DLCs are. I know the music pack. I'm not too pleased about the fucking music pack.
Jesus.
There's a BGM pack that lets you play songs from older games during the battles, and there's a lot of songs there, to be fair, but it's $28, and it is not included in the ultimate edition of the game.
Yeah, everything should be included in that, in my opinion.
If you're doing an ultimate edition of the game, it should fucking have why am I paying so much and I'm not getting everything? Like, I shouldn't have to pay for more stuff on top of what I already paid, which was a premium over what everybody else paid. Like, I'm a glutton with this game, because not only did I buy the physical collector's edition, but when that got delayed, I decided to buy the digital ultimate edition, and then I ended up buying two of the $5 DLC packs because, like, it felt like the game required them for me to enjoy it more with the extra XP and SP and everything else. I know Tales games have always limited you to like 10 or 15 items, but to have an expansion to 99 locked behind DLC seems really stupid.
Yeah, especially since those items, you can go through them really fucking fast.
I mean, Tales games have always been like that, where it's locked to like 15 items or whatever, but to have a max of 99 tied to DLC, just make that the game.
And also on top of that, there's also a pack that allows you to get double the experience points and the spirit points that you get after each battle.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how bad this is. The normal, I played it through to the very first boss, which is the fire boss, the guy that you beat to free the first area that you're in, where you start off with. I was like five levels. He was five levels higher than me. there were enemies around him that were five levels fucking higher than me. I beat all of them with a lot of aid. And I ended up going up one fucking level by beating a handful of people a little higher than me and a few people that were significantly higher than me. I went up one level and I consistently stayed 5 to 7 levels behind everything until I bought the pack that gives you. Matter of fact, I bought two different packs. I bought one that gave me double the XP and double the spirit points or skill points. And then I got one that put another 20% on top of that.
No.
And I am still behind in levels. I'm like 2 to 3 levels behind. But I've also at this point fought creatures that were like, I was like in the 40s and they were a fucking level 70 creature.
No.
And at points like that, you really need that 99 limit. Cause I went through most of my healing items that I had obtained through literally almost the entire game.
Damn.
Without using, I went through most of them in that one fight. Jeez. And that's not even the hardest fight in the game. I don't know if it's an optional boss even. I'm pretty sure it's a boss you have to beat at some point before you beat the game. But there's optional bosses too, which I haven't even unlocked the ability to get to yet. It's like
there's a lot of content in the game. It's a packed game, yes. So there's a lot there. It's not starving for content. It's just I don't like all the piecemeal DLC. I don't like that practice, and I wish it would. Like, I can understand costumes. Okay. Selling me costumes is one thing. Selling me double experience, like, I don't like it with the Chemco games either. But it doesn't feel as egregious with the Chemco games. It doesn't feel as necessary with the Chemco games as it does with Tales of Arise. But even all that said, $60, I'm still absolutely behind picking up this game. It's a fantastic, like, the action feels great. The combos feel great. The visuals are stunning on the Series X. It's just a really, really solid Tales game, but you're going to want to invest more than the asking price because of the DLC. It's just how much you want to invest.
Yeah, I agree right on the same lines, except for I would say wait for a sale because of all the fucking piecemeal DLC that you really kind of want. And I don't know anything about the extra arts that you get for having the other costume packs, because obviously I didn't have them. But there is one good thing. When you get to late game, if you've been finishing one of the side quests, because there is one that you actually have to keep up with because part of it is missable. But if you keep up with it, it allows you to start pulling different parts of the game into a new game plus that it unlocks when you beat the game. But there's multiple pieces. Like, one piece allows you to bring your records over. Another allows you to bring your different knowledge bases over. One lets you bring your levels. One lets you bring your equipment and your items, et cetera, et cetera.
No.
And, so you at least have that if you don't want to spend the money. But I don't know how long it'll take you to beat the game if you're not spending the money, because you're going to be so fucking underleveled. So I'm playing it on story mode. On little bitch baby mode, and I had trouble until I bought that fucking DLC. If you're starting on one of the harder difficulties, then good fucking luck, because you're fucked.
Yeah, but at the end of it all, $60, I think it's worth it, obviously, because I've spent like 5 times that amount on this fucking game. Statue is nice, though. I really like the statue.
Beautiful. It's so pretty. That's Xion and Iron Mask.
Indeed.
Alfing.
Anyway, next game to talk about is NBA 2K22, developed by Visual Concepts, published by 2K, released September 10th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $59.99, Series X and S and PS5 for $69.99. Cross-gen bundle is available for $79.99. NBA 2K22 puts the entire basketball universe in your hands. Play now in real NBA and WNBA environments against authentic teams and players. Build your own dream team in My Team with today's stars and yesterday's legends. Live out your own pro journey in My Career and experience your personal rise to the NBA and flex your management skills as a powerful executive in My GM and My League. Anyone, anywhere can hoop in NBA 2K22. Jacob, could you hoop?
Mildly. I could mildly hoop in this game, thus still proving white men can't jump. or at least they don't know which button is the pass. So this was the first time I'd ever played any of the 2K NBA series. Because, I mean, I was pretty psyched that we even got offered it. So I was just like, you know what? Fine, I'll take it. And a big thing with my approach with sports games is that I always believe that, I mean, these franchises have been around for forever, but they also need they've been around for forever. And so everyone already knows the controls and how they play and stuff like that. But I'm a firm believer that even if your franchise has been around for like 20, 30 years, like Madden, you still need to treat the game like this is somebody's first entry into that series. And that was one of the things I was really appreciative of Madden with, because it essentially holds your hand with training and tutorials and stuff like that. Meanwhile, NBA kind of just takes the opposite approach and is like, well, man, I hope you have a friend that you've been playing with over at their house all this time, because, we're going to have some tutorials, but you're on your own on this one. And so where Madden was a far more interactive one, the tutorials in this one were really just, you know, all right, we're going to like have this constant replaying video that shows you what happens when you do the thing. And we're just going to say, press X to do this, but that's pretty much all we're going to do now. Like, of course they do give you like some practice games and like you could set up your drills, but like at least with Madden, it explains like, all right, this guy's going to go here, this guy's going to go here, this is what everyone's supposed to be doing. NBA is kind of just like, yeah, no, basketball's chaotic and has really squeaky floors because everyone's using athletic shoes. So, you know, no, we're not going to do that for you. And so it's just like most of the time I was still making my shots. But, you know, in the training thing, I was still making my shots and stuff like that. But it really doesn't take any time to train you. And so it's a little frustrating, especially like when I started up my very first game in it. And I was doing okay with shooting the basketball, but it honestly felt like my defense was like absolute shit. Anybody who was coming down the court with the ball, like I just couldn't stop them. Like, and I was doing what the game told me to do, but it was just like they just breezed right by me. And so I don't know if that's like maybe I'm just a beginner and I suck, or is this like an issue with the game? So I don't know. But the thing is,
a little column A, little column B.
Yeah, it most likely is. Now, on top of it, or like aside from that, the graphics in the game look great. Like, it looks realistic. It just looks fantastic. I'm kind of wondering with the series, because as I said, this is the first time I've ever played, so I don't know how like well honed everything has been for years. But it's just like there's almost so much content in this game that it feels like they kind of mashed in like other stuff with it. Now, what's always been really popular with the sports games is like a create your own player thing. NBA is no different. It has that. In fact, it wants you to do that right off the bat. There's a character creator that you need to sign up for. But the problem is that if you don't already have an account with 2K for this thing, you have to create one, and it's tied in with your player. And then they send you an email saying like, oh yeah, well, like once you click this link, we'll like solidify your account and stuff like that. I didn't realize that there was an email. And so after 3 days, I fired up the game, and it's just like, oh, by the way, all your progress that you had in your My Career thing, yeah, it's gone now. You have to start up a new thing and start up an account. And I'm like, what?
You check your email more often.
Shut up. That is not the takeaway, Joe. Like, holy crap. That is
especially
not,
if the game tells you check your email for a confirmation.
No, it didn't. that's the thing. I didn't see anything about it, like, oh yeah, you should definitely check your email and register your account. But I thought it had already been registered and that was done. Like, whatever. Anyway, so it erased my guy, which was confusing enough. So I had to start a new one. But so the character creator thing, as I said, this thing might as well just be its own game. Like, it's a sports RPG, and you have to create your guy. You know, you have to decide which college you're going to go to. And, like, he has, like, a social media guy, like, assistant. And I'm just like, how many high school players have this? Is this a thing now? Like, I don't. And he's living in his own apartment. Like, I don't know. It was really confusing because I'm just like, if somebody lives like this and they're, like, 17 years old right now, like, this is some shit. But, So
not anyway. The childhood I grew up with.
Yeah, I'm like, did Michael Jordan have like a hype man guy like back in the day when he was 17, like about to go to like North Carolina? I don't think so. But like, yeah, it's just bizarre. Anyway, so your guy goes on through that, and then you have to, you know, you go into college and you're like going up for this tournament thing, and you're like, how well you do in this tournament is going to determine your prospects for getting drafted in the NBA. And like, you have to do all this stuff to improve your character with it. Like, you have to do drills, you have to do practices, you have to compete in games, obviously, because it's a basketball game. But in the meantime, it turns out you're on a cruise ship for something. Like, I don't know, but it's like, it's meant to be this like hub world where you can like visit various shops and do stuff and talk to people and you'll get like quests. But like, I was a little disappointed because Kotaku actually had an article about this, because apparently there you could visit a Verizon store in there, or no, not Verizon. I'm sorry. State Farm. It's State Farm, and you actually get to meet Jake from State Farm, and he hooks you up with his duds. So like, you two, if you want to like, you know, have your character style and profile and like Jake from State Farm, you totally can in this game for whatever reason. I couldn't find him. I'm not actually sure he's on the cruise ship, because I also found out that the Xbox One version is neutered compared to the Xbox Series X. So if you're playing the Xbox Series X thing, you're like, my career thing is actually in like some city, kind of like a walking Grand Theft Auto thing. Like, I don't think you can hop into cars. Like, I only found this out through an article I read earlier today. But like, in the Xbox Series X and PS5 versions, there's an actual like living, breathing city you get to walk in. Meanwhile, us Xbox One and PS4 people, we're stuck on a cruise ship the whole entire time. So that's kind of weird. I don't know why they made that decision, but whatever. So
that is very weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and apparently also the WNBA teams aren't present in the Xbox One version. I didn't get that far into like checking out all the different teams that were available.
Store
so I
page
cannot...
literally says WNBA for the Xbox One. So I would, is the store page wrong? I wonder.
I don't know.
I wonder if they just like copy pasted. That would suck if like, I don't like when games are missing so much in between versions.
Yeah, but like, there, I didn't see them, but at the same time, it may also have been like just, I mean, sometimes content, you know, gets released later on, yeah, like true. after stuff. So it's entirely possible I missed it, just like I missed State Farm, you know, take from State Farm on the cruise ship if he's there. But going back to gameplay and stuff like that, like, it's tight, it works, like, but I mean, right now it's called, like, you know, it's a little frustrating because there's a lot that I have to memorize with stuff that I'm not exactly familiar with, as opposed, I mean, like, I hadn't played Madden since, like, 2008, 2009-ish.
No.
And, like, when we reviewed Madden 22, it was like I never lost it. Like, I picked up right where I left off. This thing is, I don't know, it's its own thing, and I really wish it would do more to handhold newer players. Now, I mean, as I said, like, we've gotten probably like an entire generation now, like, that has played this game, so it's, I don't know. I guess like you could have like, you know, somebody teaching their kid how to do it, but it's just, I don't know.
As I said,
I wish it did more to do it, but at the same time, it seemed like a pretty good basketball game. So
as it stands, it's $60 on last gen, $70 for new gen. What do you think of NBA 2K22?
I mean, I don't think you actually have much of another choice. I think this is the only NBA game out there. In case you want to play some basketball, obviously the choice to go with would be Xbox Series X, but
or PS5.
Right.
Let's be fair.
But I played the last gen version, and I thought it was good, so I'd recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up is Life is Strange True Colors, developed by Deck Nine Games, published by Square Enix. Square Enix provided the code for this game. We thank them. Sponsored content, whatever you want to call it. But yes, code provided by Square Enix for the purpose of this review. Released September 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Steam, and Stadia for $59.99. Alex Chen has long suppressed her curse, the supernatural ability to experience, absorb, and manipulate the strong emotions of others, which she sees as blazing colored auras. When her brother dies in a so-called accident, Alex must embrace her volatile power to find the truth and uncover the dark secrets buried by a small town. Cole, tell us about Life is Strange True Colors, which was provided to us by Square Enix for the purpose of this review.
So, I have played every single Life is Strange game. And I am not ashamed to say that as far as development for Life is Strange goes, I'm biased towards Don't Nod's version of the series. Because when Before the Storm came out, there was a noticeable difference in quality between it and Life is Strange 1 and 2. And that had something to do with Deck Nine being involved. And not to say that they're a subpar studio in any kind of way, but just that the difference in quality was definitely visual. And also in the writing. I'm really happy to say that if I didn't know Deck Nine had done True Colors, you probably wouldn't have known, period. It has really shown that they have put in the effort to improve both their visuals and their storytelling, and they have just really gone above and beyond with True Colors. Alex is a wonderful character. I'm gonna be really honest again, which is what I do. I'm honest in my reviews, but I feel like if I'm gonna say something kind of harsh, I have to preface it with I'm just being honest. But when I had seen the trailers and stuff for True Colors, I was a little hesitant to like it. I love Life is Strange. I'm really invested in that franchise. However, when I saw the trailers, I was like, oof, empathy is her superpower. That's it. She can tell people are sad like everybody else. And I wasn't sold. I wasn't. It just didn't seem interesting compared to say Max's superpower of being able to you know, manipulate things with photographs and things like that. It just seemed so mundane. It was like everybody's empathetic in some way or another. It's not a superpower. But they really found a way to write Alex in such a way that you realize that her empathy is more than just, oh, well, somebody's sad and I can tell. It really kind of, I don't want to spoil anything, but it manifests in how she interacts with all these situations, and it gives your choices in the game a lot more bearing than it would have otherwise. It's easy to go, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, make a choice and I'm going to be upset if I'm going to do action A or action B and it turns out poorly. But when you're not just making these decisions, but you're getting actual insight into how these decisions are actually going to have an effect on the characters beyond just what you say, it really hits you a little differently. And I got so wrapped into the story that we were being told of Alex and her past with being in foster care and finding her brother and getting reunited and all of the events that kick off once she moves to this little Colorado town. They managed to find a way to make every character you interacted with worth your while. There were a lot of times in previous Life is Strange games where you're like, yeah, you could talk to somebody, but they're going to have a cringy one-liner and that's it, right? They're NPCs. That's what happens. But in True Colors, you feel like you're actually having moments that are going to affect the outcome of the game when you have these conversations. They feel much more valuable. And that's a testament to how much work that Deck Nine has put in here. They've certainly changed my mind. I'm really happy to see how far they've come and what they could do with future Life is Strange stories, because they're definitely putting in the work to make them worth their while. Visually, man, just there isn't a single pixel in this game that isn't pretty. It's gorgeous. Every moment of it, just... Sometimes I would just sit and kind of look and be like, you know what? I haven't moved in a while. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. I was just looking. I was just taking in the textures. I don't know. And I was just kind of spacing out. And the game gives you moments to do that, much like we had in prior games where you could kind of just sit down and like have a picturesque view with some really... indie rock going in the background and just kind of zone out and just enjoy the scenery. True Colors gives you those options as well. And it's really nice just to have that break, because it is such an emotional story and it does hit you so hard that sometimes you're like, you know what, I'm going to continue, but first just let me sit here in the record store for 15 minutes and catch my breath about what's happening. Because there is a lot happening in this little town. I don't know if it's obvious, but I really like the game.
And we should note this is not episodic.
It is not. You get the entire game. It's about, I'd say it's about 15 hours, give or take a little, depending on how hard you explore.
How does that compare to the original games? Because I haven't played any of the originals.
Really?
Yeah, I have them. I just haven't played them yet.
I want to say the originals are about an hour and a half, but they're episodic, so they're only like 6 episodes. So maybe 8 to 10 hours.
This is a significantly longer game.
Yeah.
Is there a reason? Is there a reason why this one is just like one straight game, or as opposed to the episodic nature? Like, did they ever say why?
I'm just curious. No, it does. My family is home.
You can't mute either because it's your review.
No, the dogs. It does break down in the chapters and like kind of fades to black, but they just skipped doing the whole on the next episode of Life is Strange or
and
on
wait
the last
2 months.
Episode. Yeah, it's just they've for whatever reason done them all in one whack and not for anything that I'm particularly aware of, but. That is just the way they've approached it this time.
Well, the game is $60. What are your thoughts on it?
It's absolutely worth it, and I give it a buy it easily.
Okay, if you're so eager to give the $60 version a buy it, what about they have a deluxe version
for
$69.99?
For the record.
And then they also have an Ultimate Edition?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ultimate Edition. For $79.99, that includes the game as well as the deluxe edition content, and it will also include Life is Strange Remastered and Before the Storm Remastered. So I'm guessing the extra $20 is worth it for this.
I would say yes, and I would also say at the very least buy the deluxe edition, because you will get extra story. There is a character, I don't even want to say the name of the DLC because it gives away a character who returns from Before the Storm. And so I was super excited. Like, I recognized them as soon as I saw them, and I was like, oh, yeah. but that DLC is included in all that, and I definitely think you should pick all that up as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is WRC. Life is Strange True Colors was given to us by Square Enix for the purpose of that review. Sponsor content. Gotta do that. I almost forgot. Next game to talk about is WRC10 FIA World Rally Championship, developed by KT Racing, published by Nacon, released September 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $49.99. A cross-generational Ultimate Edition is available for $79.99. Hailed by reviewers and professional drivers, the standard setting off-road racing sim has been reinvented, reached the 2021 season podium, and to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the competition, relive the highlights at the wheel of legendary cars. Never has the WRC experience been this intense. Rise to the challenge. Jacob, did you rise to the challenge?
God, no. In fact, it's so realistic, I'm wrecking my car even before I start it.
Nice.
So I've reviewed the WRC series before. I believe I've reviewed 7 and 8 previously. So for those who are unfamiliar, this is rally racing. It's more of like an off-road kind of thing. A lot of countryside, deserts, rock quarries, that kind of stuff. And with that, you're driving these light but tough cars through it. And a lot of it is you have like a navigator like telling you which route to take and like, you know, 5 meters, turn left, like, blah, 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 blah. And like, it's, I've never gotten used to it. Ever. Like, and so I will never ever place first in any of these races ever. And that's fine because I'm still having a ton of fun. So this is not like an arcade racer. It's very much a simulation. And you have all these different cars that you could choose from. You get like, I think it's like 3 or 4 different brands that you can choose like one car from when you first start off. None of them really matter which one you go with. It's really all just, do you like Ford? Do you like, you know, this other brand I've never heard of? That kind of stuff. But, you know, as you go into the game, there's multiple modes. I mean, if you want to just hop into a race and suck, that's fine. You can do that. If you want to do a career mode, which has always been the popular thing, and that's what the game really wants you to focus on, you can go in the career mode where I can also continue to suck. The career mode is the standard stuff. You know, you create your racer, you assemble a team, you're like your pit crew and all that other kind of stuff. And then, you know, you work on your car, you do stuff in between races, like practice on the next race course. You know, you can give like media interviews, all the standard stuff that you usually get with this kind of like simulation RPG-ish kind of career modes that you find in so many sports games, whether it's cars or basketball, football, whatever. That being said, damn, this game is gorgeous. Like, I mean, like the WRC games have always, they've always looked good. And this one is no different. Handling of the cars, I've never been good at, because I've never been good at, you know, like the perfect simulation, but thankfully the game does have various assists that will help you out. And I do my best to make sure that the game still can't manage to help me get across the finish line. So with that, I mean, it's not like, you know, it turns badly or anything like that, or like, you know, like the controls don't work. It's not that. It's really user error on that one. But that being said, it's just like, it's a lot of fun to go through like all of the different areas and like, you know, all like the little jumps and like trying to make all these quick turns. And it's just, it's pretty cool. Like I enjoy these games for what they are. I'm never going to like, I don't know if there's ever, like, I don't know if there's like an esports thing for this game. I'm never going to be in competition for that. That's like, that's just not happening.
We know.
But like, that being said, the games are a lot of fun, even if like you're not used to these kind of games. They look great, especially on Xbox One. I can't imagine how it looks on Xbox Series X. It's got to look astoundingly beautiful. And if you're more so into like the simulation racing games than, you know, the arcadey stuff, I highly recommend WRC. Like, honestly, I appreciate them more than I do the Forza Motorsport games, which is a tall order, I realize.
Yeah, you're crazy.
The thing is that, like, I feel like it probably gives me a more realistic racing experience than those. With that, and so honestly, I mean, I didn't get to try out the. There is a digital deluxe edition of this, isn't there? I thought you said that.
They have.
Did I make that up in my head?
I don't know. I know they have a deluxe version that includes both the Xbox One and the Series X and S version, as well as some of the DLC with it. An update on pricing. I was wrong. The last gen is $49.99. The new gen is $59.99. The ultimate edition that has both of them is $79.99. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I mean, I can only assume about the Xbox Series X version. Xbox One, totally recommend it. You know, as I said, if you're into simulation races, by all means, this is what you want to go for. If you're looking for an arcadey experience, you maybe wait for a sale on this, but you might also want to just look elsewhere. This is not going to be Burnout. But that being said, I highly recommend it. Honestly, if I, you know, I may go back and like get the digital deluxe version, or actually I wouldn't need to because I already have this, but anyway, whatever. I'd recommend it.
Well, I have the ultimate edition on my wish list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I don't have $80 to buy Rally.
You just bought some TMNT statues, man.
Like, I know. That's why I don't have $80 to buy WRC, because I spent $100 on Ninja Turtle statues. YOLO.
An excellent use of money there, Joe. An
excellent use of a Twitch payout. Ninja Turtle statues. Thank you, viewers. I love you all. Next game to talk about is Bus Simulator 21, developed by Still Alive Studios, published by Astragon Entertainment, released September 7th on Xbox One and PS4 for $49.99, Steam for $34.99. Experience the daily life of a bus driver in two open world cities, either in the USA or Europe. Drive up to 30 licensed buses by international manufacturers, including a double decker and e-buses. Take your passengers to their destination safely and on time, either in single or multiplayer mode. Jacob, how many people did you drop off at their destination safely?
How many people did I drop off at their destination hold on, let me take off my shoes. I thought you were about to ask how many people I killed with a bus.
How many?
Oh, God, so damn many.
Like, can you kill people in this game?
You can hit them. You get penalized with a lot of money.
The lawsuits you're paying.
Oh my God. It's one of the issues that I have with this game. All right. So Bus Simulator, it just really kind of tosses you into everything. You're taken to this town, that their bus service kind of got run into the ground, but you're going to revitalize it. And you have this helper, I think her name's like Miranda or something, like Maria, something. I don't know. Anyway, she's there and she awkwardly runs across the parking lot to meet you, because the human physics, running animations were not like their top priority for this game. So I'm going to warn you right now, the way that people look and like walk around in this game, focus more on the buses and the beautiful countryside. Just don't look at the people. Okay. So she's just like, hey, you know, I'm going to be here and I'm going to help you out. You know, you need to choose one of these three buses and we'll get you started on your way. And you're allowed to test drive them out. The three buses have like some differentiation between them, like, you know, how many people can stand, how many people can sit, what's your turning ability in this bus. I ignored all of that. And I just chose like the one that looked, you know, the nicest in my opinion. And she's just like, okay, well, give it a spin around the parking lot before, you know, before you choose like whichever one you want. And, so I did, and it seems to be going okay. I mean, like, there's a lot of controls to this, and thankfully there's this like, control wheel that pops up after hitting a button, and it like it lets you control various aspects of the bus, like opening and closing the doors, you know, deciding which lights go on, bringing up the fare computer. Like there's a lot going on, and it's it the game throws a lot at you in the beginning. So after you get all that and you're like you've done a couple loops around the building and stuff like that, she's like, hey, do you like, is this a bus you want? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not, whatever. Okay, well, let's go to your first stop. And I immediately crash it into the median just trying to get out of get out of the thing. And thankfully the game doesn't penalize you so much, or at least in the tutorial it doesn't penalize you so much for causing damage to the bus. And then she's just like, okay, well, we're going to give you like a dry run on like, you know, your route and stuff like that. And, you know, you just need to go here and like, just follow the map. And I do. And the thing is that I don't know if it's weird because like, I don't know if this is a fault of the game or maybe it's just like, they're like, yo, this is how people are going to react. And you need to be able to react to that. But it's just like, people aren't walking in crosswalks when they're supposed to. People are like, you have cars that just sit at green lights, and it's just all this other kind of stuff. And I mean, like, I get like that's real life stuff, but I mean, like, right off the bat, I'm just like, please just show me the ropes on this game. But no, like I exit out. I've already crashed my bus once, and I immediately like hit like three pedestrians. And I haven't even, I'm not even like 200 feet away from my building. Like, so this is already looking great. And you have to go through the town and like, it makes you like do the stops, drop off people, and do some other stuff. And then, it brings on more stuff. Like you have to figure out, what different routes you're going to offer. And if, you know, enough people are riding, you can purchase more buses and you can like run more routes during different times of the day. And you have to like make sure everything's just running smoothly. And this assistant character, sometimes she's really helpful with it. Other times I'm just like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be doing. So I ended up having to look online a couple of times with it. It's difficult as shit when you first start off. Like, I mean, there's no way to mince words about it. I mean, there's a very steep learning curve, and I'm sure that there's tons of people that are just like, hell yeah, this is my jam. This is like your first time trying any of these kind of games, and I'm not exactly sure what would have made a random person off the street just be like, hell yeah, I want to simulate buses. I don't know. But, it's an odd simulation thing. I don't know if I've ever done anything like this. But it's just, yeah, like, it's one of those simulators where it's just, like, what you think is a mundane task, you go around and you do it, and then you realize just how much more that there is to it, and the game is rough on you. Now, there is also a multiplayer portion. I really wasn't able to get into many games with it, because it only allows like 4 players per game, and I'm guessing that there's a lot of people who are like fans of the series and they all know each other, so they've all like started up their own private games or something like that. I got to hop in a couple, and it's essentially you and another person, and you're just trying to do your route and stuff like that, and one person is driving the bus and the other person is just managing other stuff on the bus, like usually like collecting fares and stuff like that. And you do get people who do try to skip paying the fare.
All those sons of bitches.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting portion of the game. I'm not totally convinced that multiplayer is like a hell yeah, we need to add this kind of thing for this game, but whatever. I'm assuming
it's there. I mean, you can't knock it for the people who want it. It's there.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm assuming that there's like, cause I figure that this is more of like a European, like, you know, over in Europe, they're just like, hell yeah. Cause it seems like all those simulator games come out of there. So I mean, maybe it's their way to play on this kind of stuff. It's an odd game. There's a steep learning curve. I'll be honest. This is a try it from me. I'm not faulting the game. It looks great. It plays decently, but as I said, there is a steep learning curve to it. I think a lot of people are going to get frustrated and quit before the tutorial is finished. But if you're willing to hang with it, I think there's some interesting stuff to be found there, which is why I'm giving it a try it.
Cool. I would love to know why console is so much more expensive than PC. $15 is that's a noticeable difference. Like sometimes you'll see them for $10 more PC over console, but 15, come on, what's going on? I don't know. That's it for you though, Jacob. Get the fuck out of here.
Woo!
You have any final words?
Well, no, you just told me to get the fuck out of here.
All right, then get the fuck out of here.
All right, fine, bitch.
Next game to talk about is I Am Fish, developed by Bossa Studios, published by Curve Digital, released September 16th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $19.99. I Am Fish is a charming physics-based adventure starring four intrepid fish friends forcibly separated from their home in a pet shop fish tank. Swim, fly, roll, and chomp your way to the open ocean in a bid for freedom and to reunite once again. Paul, tell us about your time with I Am Fish.
You ever see that scene in Finding Nemo where the fish get out of the aquarium and then they get to the ocean and they're in the plastic baggies and they're like, now what? You ever see that scene and then think, that'd be a fun game? Because that's what the folks at Bossa Studios did. They just turned that whole scene into a long-ass game. And then they said, let's take the physics aspects from our previous game, which was I Am Bread, and let's apply those to these little floppy-ass fish and see what happens. I'll give them credit. It looks great. It's a really pretty game for what it is. I was blown away by how pretty it is. But the actual gameplay itself, initially I was like, oh shit, this is easier than I Am Bread. This is manageable. And then immediately, by like the third level, I was ready to pull my hair out. Because when you start off, you're a little goldfish in a little ball, and you can navigate your way around from rooftops and all kinds of different situations. You're in an attic at one point, and you can navigate by rolling the ball around. As long as you're careful and you don't like slam the ball into things or drop yourself from really high without landing on something soft, your ball will stay intact. Might get a few little cracks, but it'll stay intact. If you crash, drop a long distance, or hit too much shit, your ball will crack really bad and then eventually will bust and then you'll suffocate because you're a fucking fish. But initially you're navigating the ball around and you're doing it by, you know, rolling the ball on electrical lines, which is horribly dangerous. Please don't do that.
Yeah, kids, don't play with electrical lines. It's not smart.
My husband used to be a journeyman, and all I can think of is, like, don't touch those lines. especially if you're a fish. But you can roll along the utility lines and you know, gently drop yourself down along these rooftops until you eventually end up in some... At one point, I ended up in a sewer, and by this point, my ball was busted, but it's, like, supposed to be. And the fact that the game doesn't have, like, any waypoints or anything, it doesn't really guide you, doesn't tell you how to get anywhere. I was about to throw my controller. That was when the I Am Bread level of rage had come back. Because it's,
you keep mentioning I Am Bread. You can't forget Surgeon Simulator, too.
I do keep forgetting that they are Surgeon. Listen, I tried to play Surgeon Simulator, and I got so nauseated.
I love Surgeon Simulator. It is so fun to just slice people accidentally. And
my face is flushing just thinking back to that, because I got motion sick from it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I was fine with, like, the chopping up shit, but the motion sickness. That got me. But yeah, with I Am Fish, it really kind of struggles from just that. Like, I understand the point is to give you the freedom to solve the puzzle of the world your own way. And there are checkpoints and things. So, like, it's kind of, you know, worry-free when you're just, like, learning a level. Although, you do, every time you die, you do lose a star off of your score. It's for the most part, though, it's worry-free to, like, fuck up and try again. But it can get really frustrating if you're in one of these areas where the obvious potential choices aren't there. It's a little too open, especially in later levels when you have the flying fish and, like, the world is very open and you can kind of go where you want for short bursts of time. It just cranks up the frustration. Give me a waypoint, guys. At least tell me where the exit's at, you know? Let me figure out 15 different ways to get there, sure. But at least show me where the exit was at, because I kept drown. How the fuck does a fish drown? I kept drowning. I don't know how.
That's incredible.
I know it.
The beautiful thing, like, with this game, though, is if people are undecided about it,
it's on Game Pass. So fuck it. Who gives a fuck what I'm saying about it? Download it and try it for yourself. I do have to, like, add in the disclaimer that I am not a huge physics game fan in the first place. There was enough in the trailers for I Am Fish and stuff that I thought, no, I think I can manage it. I think I can get away with it. But unfortunately, just, like, the lack of any kind of guidance is really what kills it for me. The actual manipulation and, like, you know, gameplay itself, like, it doesn't bother me and it's fine. It's just that I wish I knew where the fuck I was trying to go.
Also, I'm just going to throw out fish can drown.
Yeah. No, there's a whole ass area where, like, there's water comes rushing down really hard and I just kept drowning.
Oh, no, I mean in real life, fish can drown.
Well, yeah. But I was talking about a game.
Anyway, next game to talk about is In My Shadow, developed by Playbay, published by Overgames, released September 25th on the Switch for $12. Play with your shadows in your own imaginative ways to solve twisted puzzles as you unfold the memories of a girl who struggles to confront herself in her past. Our friend Serlina wrote in a review of this one. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML lovelies. It's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing In My Shadow for the Nintendo Switch, developed by Playbay and published by Alcon Interactive Group. In My Shadow is a puzzle platforming game that has you manipulating the shadows of objects in order to progress. Let's get on to the review. In My Shadow has you playing as Bella, a woman who is reminiscing on her younger days as she looks to a text message from her father. A keen observer of the text will immediately understand that things are not well. The story largely takes place in Bella's memories, and she narrates the notable events that happened in her life. I like how the story unfolds as you progress in the game, and it's very relatable. Let's talk about the gameplay. This is the game's bread and butter. You control young Bella's shadow, and you have to manipulate objects in Bella's room that cast their shadows on the walls via a light source so young Bella can get to the end of the level. Along the way, Bella must collect memory fragments in order to complete the level. Without them, you can't move on, so you'll have to move those objects accordingly. You'll have access to several different types of objects that can cast shadows on different shadows on the wall. These objects range from boxes, end tables, chairs, coffee tables, etc. You can move these objects to either side, up or down, or even move them in circles. The way the objects are placed determines how big or little their shadows are cast, and you'll need to fiddle with them in order to get exactly what you need to progress. It's not that simple, though, as you'll come across obstacles that stop you from completing a level. You've got floor spikes, air spikes, circular blades. Also, you won't be able to move all the objects the way you want to. Sometimes you can only move an object to the side or up and down. There are even instances where you can't move an object at all, and you'll need to mitigate that in your level solving. The game is pretty forgiving, though. You can modify the objects at any time by pressing Y. If the level is too much for you, you can skip it in the options menu, which is really cool. Personally, I didn't skip because I wanted that euphoria you get when you finally pass a level that made you want to pull your hair out. You can also restart a level anytime, and if you die, you start over. The game is challenging, but it doesn't feel overbearing, and I like that. I also like that there's no one real way to beat the levels. You have the tools, your imagination, and Bella's jump. The game lets you figure it out, and it doesn't care how you do it. Graphically, the levels are pretty decent. Remember, you're in Bella's childhood, so things look dated for a reason. When it comes to the models, though, it's serviceable but cartoonish. It reminds me of Secret Neighbor aesthetically, but the game doesn't need to look amazing. It needs to play well, and it does. In My Shadow will be available on the Switch on September 25th for $12, and should you buy it, I would give this game a buy it. I've really enjoyed my time with it. Even if you're super awesome at puzzle platformers, there's enough levels to keep you busy for a while, and the coming-of-age story is highly relatable. So put on your thinking cap, get your creativity on, and solve them puzzles. That one sounds good. I know. Thanks for chiming in.
Short and to the point. Why are you interrupting me?
Next game is Titan Chaser, developed by Shawstack Games, published by Samustai Limited, released September 15th on Xbox One for $4.99. Titan Chaser is a surreal driving and walking experience where your job is to scout giant creatures and use the light to drive them off without fighting or killing. Cole, tell us about Titan Chaser.
This is, for the most part, it's a walking slash driving simulator, but with the additional element that it's fucking dark and you're in this surreal, not apocalyptic type of landscape, but just everything around you is just a little off, right? And it's all a little surreal. Oh, and also there are wyverns and other giants, which are known as titans, and basically, like, they're just around the landscape, and they just are. And it's your job. It's your brand new job. You've just been hired. You start off in a hotel room, and you go get in the car for your first night of this job. Your job is to guide these titans away from places where people live in this small town type area. But you can't do it with weapons. You're armed with your car horn. There's an achievement for blowing your car horn at a wyvern. you have to use items in the environment. Like, you have a spotlight, you have your car's headlights, you have your horn, but also there are certain rules to each titan. God, I really don't want to give away any spoilers to what some of the later ones are, so I'm trying just to stick to the wyvern because it's the first one. There's some really crazy, crazy titans in this. But with the wyvern, for example, since it is the first one, you get some rules about them, and they can't see color other than blue. Like they're drawn to blue light, right? So if you shine a spotlight at it, it doesn't fucking do anything because it's not blue. So for the puzzles, you have to drive around and find these satellite stations that have blue lights. And then you have to flip the switch. But because this is kind of an apocalyptic type of scenario, there's only enough power for one switch at a time. So you have to drive to each one, flip the switch, turn on the blue light, and then the wyvern will fly to that one. And you have to do all that to basically guide it away from where the people live, so that at one point mine was just like had spawned and was sitting in the middle of a bridge because they're drawn to bridges for whatever fucked up reason. And I was like, yeah, that could be a problem. I could see how somebody could come cruising along at night and smash into a wyvern. That would be bad. So it's really, I hesitate to say it's kind of relaxing because you're trying to solve these puzzles and like I said, there are some wild titans.
Well, I mean, the features do say relax and observe mystical landscapes.
Yeah, but you do. I don't know that you're observing much. It's very dark. And I can't tell you how many times I drove into water because I just didn't see it.
Well, it's $5. What do you think?
Is it really only $5?
Yeah, $4.99.
Oh, $5. It's a fuck it. Why not? Like, it's just one of those that it's odd. And if you're into really weird, surreal kind of games that, you know, it's not going to challenge you, but it's not going to bore you to death either.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, final game to talk about tonight is called The Frost's First Ones, developed and published by Ivan Sukhanov. Hopefully I said his name right. Released August 31st on Steam for $2.99. An adventure about searching for a missing hunter and meeting with alien beings. Explore wild nature, climb on a rock, lure out a boar, meet a wolf, survive in a rock fall, heal a deer, and trick a creature. Meet the unknown and find mystery. Aki, tell us about your time with The Frost's.
There wasn't a whole bunch of time with it. The game's about 2 hours long.
It is only $3, so.
This is true. Basically, you play as Beric, and you've been requested by a woman named Celia to go find her husband, Henrik. He went out hunting, and they all live in the icy wilds of who the fuck knows, on a planet that's buried in snow and ice, it seems. And he was only supposed to be gone for a few days, and he's been gone for a few more days than that. So off you go to go find him. And you go find him. It's very hard to, you know, the description of this game tells you pretty much everything about the game.
Nice.
Most of the
Cole,
time
do you have anything
walking
to chime in with?
Well, it's not just that it's some planet covered in ice and snow. It's very much Earth, but there was an event that led to everything being covered in ice and snow. And it even tells you at one point that it's been about 3 centuries since the snow has melted.
I missed all of that. I figured it was Earth, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, it's Earth. There's no unusual alien animals or anything. Like, you're gonna run into deer and boar and wolves and, you know, normal animals, rabbits and fox. But there is
ducks and coyotes and wolves. What other animals? Talk about more animals.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
But
giraffes.
Well, I did run into a bear, but I didn't see any lions or tigers. for the record.
Did you find a giraffe?
No.
No.
Oh, fuck this game.
No, because they would freeze to death. Giraffes typically live where it's warmer. So they probably didn't. They were probably weren't long for this frozen world. It would take more than 300 years for some evolution to kick in for that. But yeah, it's a short and sweet kind of game. It's basically like you walk around and explore things. There are some things that I kind of found odd. There's definitely some grammatical issues going on. And sometimes it can make the story read a little funny. And it kind of takes a few minutes to just go, I don't think that's what they meant.
Yeah, I'm so used to that from all the visual novels I played that just went right by me. I didn't even register it.
There were a few moments where my little editor side of my brain went, that's not correct.
So from what I'm understanding, you're offering to proofread his game?
I don't got enough time for that shit. I don't even proofread my own articles. That's what I've got editors for. they like to yell at me.
Oh, Lord. Well, The Frost's First Ones is only $3. So what do the two of you think?
I think it's a buy it. If you want just like a casual narrative kind of game where you don't have to overexert yourself, but you're going to get a payoff out of it, then that's a good option.
I think it's a try it.
Even at $3, it's not worth a fuck it, why not?
I think it's a try it because it doesn't tell you where to go, and it gets a little confusing trying to get areas, which gets frustrating.
Aki! Oh, I did have one complaint. I'm going to fuss at Aki first, though, because, like, you're supposed to follow the blood trails and shit. Like, it tells you they're right there, they're red.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff also that you look at that is white, surrounded by white, on top
snow. That is one thing I did want to bitch about, is that they really should change the color of interactive objects because they're outlined in white and the icon is on the snow. And that's a bad choice.
Took me 10 minutes just to figure out where the very first thing you have to pick up in the entire fucking game is, which is your gear so you can fucking leave. I couldn't find it.
Is that why it's a 2-hour game but you have 5 hours in it?
Yeah, probably.
God, did I actually spend 5 hours in that?
There's some...
Fuck. Yeah,
there's some times where it's like, you know, find 25 pieces of wood. And it's like, fine. But then it's white. The little hand icon is white. And it's on the snow. And you're just sitting here going, this is cruel.
Shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. That, like I said, that's really like a minor thing that could probably be changed with a hexadecimal code that would break the whole game. But, you know, it's an option. But yeah, other than that.
Later in the game, there's also larger areas as well. Yeah. And there's no blood trail to follow because no one's leaving at that point. And it's hard to figure out.
I felt like you could tell where it wanted you to go. Like, the trail seemed pretty run down.
There was a chase that I was stuck at for over 30 minutes.
Couldn't find to pick up your gear off the box when it says to pick up your gear off the box.
Fuck you. That's all I have for that. Just fuck you.
Yeah, well, Square Enix provided Life is Strange for us to review on the show, so... Shout out to Square Enix on this episode. Made it through another one. That's it. We're done. We're fucking finished. I'm done tired talking to you people. Thanks to Jacob for being here doing his thing. Thanks to the two of you for doing your thing.
Yeah.
We had a lot of good games tonight.
It was a wild night.
Like, we had like really good games tonight.
We also learned that Jacob's bad at simulators tonight.
Yeah.
Well, he's bad at everything.
He is bad at everything.
Yeah.
Carnage, any final words? Square Enix provided Tales of Arise to us. Bandai Namco provided Tales of Arise. So thank you to Bandai Namco. Thank you to 2K for NBA 2K22. Thank you to Square Enix for Life is Strange. Thank you to Nacon for WRs. Am I just going to thank everyone?
Yeah. Sure.
Sponsored content. Final words, sponsored content.
Hashtag ads.